I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
This is what happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from
now
evil.
Now a statement from World Central Kitchen that says the IDF has acknowledged its responsibility and its fatal errors in the deadly attack on our convoy in Gaza. It's taking disciplinary action against those in command and committed to other reforms. These are important steps forward. However, it is also clear from the preliminary investigation, the IDF has deployed deadly force without regard to its own protocols, chain of command, and rules of engagement.
Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei has lashed out at Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Khamenei said that Netanyahu will be slapped for the airstrike on Iran's consular building in Syria. Meanwhile, the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency has warned Israel that Iran could launch a major military operation within 48 hours.
Nothing's changed about our one China policy. We don't support independence for Taiwan, but we also don't want to see the status quo changed in a unilateral way, and certainly not by force.
Ukraine will become a member of NATO. Our purpose at the summit is to help build a bridge to that membership.
We are working, breaking news. Preliminary reports show a 4.8 magnitude earthquake in New Jersey was felt in southern New England, including here in Rhode Island.
No Labels is officially no more. In a statement today, CEO Nancy Jacobson announced that the group would end its efforts to launch a third-party ticket after no candidates emerged. That leaves only one third-party candidate left, RFK Jr., and his campaign has some Democrats, quote, freaked out and ready to mobilize.
My own country is treating me like a criminal. It's because I believe that they stole my rightful president. And just standing up for my country, it makes me a criminal. And it's just not right. It feels so weird to be here.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily here live, Washington, D.C. Today is April 5th, 2024, Anno Domini. Voice you just heard, the video you just saw, was Rebecca Levskrim. And as we now know, she is referred to as the J6 praying grandma. She was found guilty. Rebecca Lavrins found guilty yesterday in D.C. by a D.C. jury. What was she found guilty of? What is she going potentially to prison for a full year for? For walking through the United States Capitol without permission, entering and remaining in a restricted building, disorderly conduct in a restricted building, disorderly conduct in a Capitol building, and, quote, parading inside a Capitol, walking around in her own Capitol, praying on the steps of our Capitol. She was found guilty. Unanimous decision. 12 D.C. jurors. And look, I've said for a long time, there's no way that anyone who is Donald Trump, who's associated with Donald Trump or MAGA, can ever get a fair trial in the D.C. district. No one. No one can get a fair trial there. But I want people to understand what we're up against, and I certainly hope that this is a watershed moment. Rebecca Lavrins is a 71-year-old grandmother and, in fact, a great-grandmother. Elon Musk has now spoken all out on this and says it's gone too far. Senator Mike Lee says that she deserves a full presidential pardon. And early this morning, President Trump himself posted her photo and said that she is now one of the J6 hostages. the hostages that have been taken by the Biden regime and thrown into a gulag. You think it won't happen to you? You think it can't happen to your family? Do you think it's all happening because of good intentions? When people like this are being thrown in jail inside our nation's capital, understand what part of the movie you're in. Understand what time it is. It is not the time for whining about mean tweets and mean book titles. It is not the time for whining and gatekeeping and concern trolling. Now is the time to take a stand. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Every Republican lawmaker and conservative pundit who threw people like this under the bus and turned their back on them, you're on my list. You're on my list now, and I'm going to be making sure that you know it. You have less than 1 year. Dr. Ben Carson, very honored, joins us next. Truth what really went down, so I'm jumping
on my computer, going to pre-order town. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week. Far, but I got a hankering, a yearning deep inside. For this book called Unhumans, I just can't hide.
All right, Jack Posobiec here, live Human Events Daily, Washington, D.C. Very honored and excited to introduce our next guest. Needs no introduction, Dr. Ben Carson. We are honored to have him here, Human Events Daily. How are you today, doctor?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me. Thank you for being a patriot.
Amen. Dr. Carson, we've been covering over the last 2 days the story of the praying grandma, this Rebecca Lavrins. She's from Colorado, Colorado Springs, drove to the Capitol there on January 6th to attend President Trump's rally. She's just been convicted of four crimes in Washington, D.C. The DOJ has thrown the book at her. Sentencing comes up later this year. Help me make some sense of what's going on when people like this are being gone after by our government.
Well, first of all, it shows you that it's impossible for a conservative or somebody associated with Trump to get a fair trial in Washington, D.C., and we should all take note of that. But the real problem here is that our Justice Department is being commandeered by a political party to punish its political opponents. And in 1787, when Benjamin Franklin came out of that Constitution Hall after the ruckus meeting, when they put the final touches on our Constitution, he was asked by a woman, "Sir, what do we have here, a monarchy or a republic?" He said, "A republic, if you can keep it." We kept it for over 240 years. We're as close to losing it right now as we ever have been. And if, in fact, the left is permitted to continue down this pathway of domination and unfairness in using the Justice Department against American citizens, we will indeed have lost it and we'll never get it back. And I think the American people actually realize that. And that's why you see the poll numbers as they are. They understand what the future for their children and grandchildren will be if we go down this road.
And Dr. Carson, I want to ask a follow-up on what you just said there, the idea that no one's getting a fair trial, but also that it's about locking up political opponents. So do you believe, because I hear this every day, I'll hear people say, oh, well, you know, the DOJ, they're just trying to do their job, and, you know, there's good guys over there, and, you know, this is, you know, she did, you know, break the rules, and therefore she should have to, you know, get locked up. And there's, you know, we hear this when they indicted President Trump as well. They say, no one is above the law. But does that really bear out when you look across everything that's happening in our country today?
No, it doesn't. I mean, you look back to the summer of 2020, when people were rioting and destroying people's livelihoods, murdering. And people like our vice president actually established a fund to help get those people legal representation. and to make sure that they didn't go to jail. That is definitely a two-tiered system. You have a grandmother, 71 years old, doing nothing of violence, walking around in the Capitol for 10 minutes, praying on the Capitol stairs, and she's being sentenced to jail and a hefty financial fine, and people who kill and destroy get nothing. No, that is completely antithetical to liberty and justice for all.
Look, and we know that we've seen time and time again. I was at the Kavanaugh hearings when that went on, when they burst into the United States Senate building. I was there covering it at the time when they burst in, chased Jeff Flake, Senator Flake, into an elevator at one point. And, you know, they get off with a slap on the wrist. They get off with a fine. It's a misdemeanor. You know, you pay a couple hundred bucks, whatever it is, and off you go. And what we see here, because it looks to me is exactly what you're saying, is that we should look at these things and actually view what's happening with our own eyes wide open, rather than listening to all this flowery language they use about upholding the law and this and that. You notice they only say that when it comes to conservatives, when it comes to anyone who's associated with Donald Trump, or when it comes to people who are patriots, increasingly people who are Christians and pro-lifers, by the way, I might add. And it seems more like, and we find this out with all of these hearings from Christopher Wray, our FBI director, that it seems as though there's an enemies list of the regime, of the administration, and they are systematically working their way through that list.
And they will. You know, Donald Trump is correct when he says he's the only thing that's standing between them and tyranny of the people. And unfortunately, if we have an adverse election in November and they remain in power, they will simply continue down this road until we have total tyranny in this country. There's no question about that. I think a lot of people realize that. And the real question will be, will the people utilize the remedy that our founders put in place? That remedy was the vote. And the reason I say that is because so many people don't use their votes effectively. They go into the booth or they take their voting sheet and they look for the name that looks familiar. The name could be Satan. Yo, I know that one. And they check that one off. Often it is. You know, that's not using your vote appropriately. And then when we tolerate officials coming along and saying, yes, you can monitor this polling site, but you have to do it from way over there where you can't see anything. We don't have to tolerate that. When they say there don't have to be matching signatures, we don't have to tolerate that. When they say 1,000 votes can come from the same address, we don't have to tolerate that. But they will do whatever is tolerated.
And that's exactly right. And I suppose this is something where there's an issue, I think, with conservatives, and it's temperamental in a sense, because we are the people, right? We want to be tolerant. We want to let people in. We want to bring people in. And yet there's an issue that if they use that against us, and we sit back and say, well, you know, live and let live, live and let live, live and let live. You know, they're just changing the laws. They're just changing the ways that things are done. They're running roughshod, not just over the election irregularities, which, of course, my friend Mike Lindell and yourself and so many others have told us about. But we look at our judicial system and how many times they're taking away attorney-client privilege. They're taking away privileged communications. They're taking away privacy laws on a regular basis, running roughshod over all of these privileges and rights that were given to us by our Constitution. They're throwing them out of the window and saying, oh, well, you know, that person was a Trump supporter and this was a bad time for us, so therefore we should just get rid of all of it. But to your point, Dr. Carson, that those protections are in place to create and establish a republic in the first place, and you have to give them to everyone or you lose it.
And it's supposed to be about we the people, not about we the government. And our founders worked very hard to try to give us a constitution that would allow us to maintain our freedoms. But sometimes you have to fight for those freedoms. As Ronald Reagan said, we're never more than one generation away from losing them. And you can't be the land of the free if not the home of the brave.
And that's so true. And this is why, and early on and all throughout, you've always been a stalwart supporter of President Trump. And I get it. You know, people will say he's an unconventional politician, but I would argue that we are in unconventional times. We've got a couple of minutes before the break, but do you think that President Trump's platform is the right agenda to get America back on track?
Absolutely. I mean, he talks about the things that are important to the people. You know, they're concerned about how much it costs when they go to the grocery store. You know, they come back with a $200 or $300 bill for just basic elements. They're concerned about how much it costs to put gas in their tank. They're concerned about the fact that their children cannot buy a home, can't even dream of buying a home because of the interest rates that are going on. They're concerned about the crime in the city, which is just mushrooming, and criminals who are not being prosecuted. You know, the list goes on and on. Our southern border, completely open, all kinds of people coming in, changing the demographics, changing the number of representatives. All of this is manipulation in order to maintain power. But the power problem is all of those things have ramifications, negative ramifications for our society and for the concept of freedom in this country. You even have situations where bureaucrats are coming in and saying people are unfit parents because they won't refer to their children by the pronoun that their child has been taught in school by an educational system which is seeking to usurp the role of parents. It's, the list is almost interminable. And unless we become extremely active and understand what's going on, we're not going to make it.
And you see these names, they come across our headlines every day. They come across our screens. They come across our phones. Names like Laken Riley, names like Ruby Garcia, and names now like the praying grandma, like Rebecca Lavrens. And I think there's something going on, and I hope there's something going on in this country where people are finally waking up and saying enough is enough.
I hope so. I mean, it's up to us. And what the left depends on is people being ignorant. That's what they thrive on. And they always dumb down the population. Before a country becomes communist or socialist, they dumb down the population. You see that happening in our schools now. You see that if you ever look at any of these man on the street interviews, when they ask them the simplest of questions, they have no idea what you're talking about. You have to get people in that state before you can take away the wonderful things that we have in this country and take them from a can-do attitude to a what-can-you-do-for-me attitude.
I couldn't agree more, Dr. Carson. And in fact, I'm actually working on a book all about that right now. We're speaking with Dr. Ben Carson. He is here with us on Human Events Daily. We'll be right back after a quick break. What happens when a country goes communist? How does a country go communist? Check out the new book, Unhumans. Pre-order a copy here right now.
I want to know the truth, what really went down. So I'm jumping on my computer, going to pre-order town. It's in a mystery. The hidden tales of the communist history. I want to know the truth, what really went down. So I'm jumping on my computer, going to pre-order town. Pre-order in
All right, we are here live on Human Events Daily. Very honored to have on Dr. Ben Carson. I mentioned just before the break that, you know, we're in the pre-sales for the new book, Unhumans, The Secret History of Communist Revolutions. And Dr. Carson, you actually have a book out as well, The Perilous Fight, Overcoming Our Culture's War on the American Family. You're doing this with American Cornerstone. Walk me through, or walk the audience through, how the book explains this really all is about the undoing of the family.
Well, first of all, you know, the title, The Perilous Fight, comes from our Star Spangled Banner. Our country was born in the crucible of conflict, and we had to fight for our freedom then. And we're in the same situation right now, and our freedoms are being lost. And one of the ways to overcome our country and to bring about Khrushchev's prediction, Khrushchev told Eisenhower over 60 years ago, your grandchildren's children will live under our system and we won't have to fire one shot. Why is that? Because they had a war plan that included destroying the American family. And you've seen how men have been depicted, particularly in sitcoms over the last couple of decades, as buffoons, the women as the superheroes, the educational system usurping the authority of the parents, hypersexualization of children, removing from the curriculum civics and things that bring about pride in our system, inserting things that bring about guilt and shame and victimhood. All of these things are attacking the family as it exists. And in the book, we talk about the statistics. What becomes of children who grew up in a traditional two-parent family versus those who grew up in non-traditional families? The difference is quite stark, and it is verified by both conservative and liberal organizations. So there's no question that it actually occurs. And you know, we talk about what are some of the things that we can do to encourage the buildup of families once again. We also have a significant drop in the number of children being born to traditional families. That's hurting us too. There are a whole host of things that are happening to us as a society. But what is the building block of a society? It is the family, which then creates the community, which then creates the state, which then creates the nation. So if you want to destroy that nation, if you want to fundamentally change that nation, you attack its foundation.
And what you said there is so important. I've got two little boys. One's five, one's three. They go to a private Catholic school. But one thing that we see in a lot of the schools out there today is that, and it's so important you pointed this out, that we've gotten so many of these. It's very female first oriented. It's all about girls. It's all about empowering girls. And that's wonderful. But to your point, there's nothing for young boys that are coming up through the school system now. They're pushed to the backseat. We have program after program to help young girls. And the issue, it sounds like what you're saying, the issue with that is that when you don't have young boys that are also given this way ahead, then they don't mature into young men. And you, as it turns out, you actually need young men to be those young fathers to create the families as well. Isn't that right?
That would be extraordinarily helpful. And, you know, we got to get rid of that, the war that's been created on men, and particularly white men in our society. They're like the unsung heroes that helped to create this country, and now they're being demonized. And we have to just stop with all this identity politics and recognize that there's a sense of community that was so important in the development of our country. You know, there were people here from all different countries. Frequently, they spoke different languages. A lot of the communities consisted of 100 families and nobody else around for 50 or 100 miles. But not only did they survive, but they thrived because they understood an important concept called the common good. And you see that phrase used very often by the founders of this country, learning do the things that work for everybody. If Mr. Johnson fell out of the apple tree at harvest time and broke his leg, everybody else harvested his crops. They didn't ask him what his political affiliation or his religion was. They just knew that that was their neighbor and they needed help. And when we can get back to that kind of attitude in America, we'll start making progress again.
And it's truly remarkable because, and one of the issues, and we talk about this in my book as well, is that we get so focused on these things. We call it equity, we call it DEI, we call it justice, you call it, but these are all actually forms of a different kind of system of government, and it's not the American system of government at all. As a matter of fact, the American system is a system whereby in you are granted rights and the opportunity to then use those rights to better yourself, better your family. But right. In the other system, it's a system where people are categorized into different classes. Now, in the past, this was done economically, but these days you hear more and more of it pushed along, you know, racial lines, along gender lines, and then they keep coming up with new genders, so you have to come up with new categories. I see the trans flag now has another triangle on it. I didn't realize, I don't even know what the other triangle is for on there yet. I haven't done my research yet on that one. But do you agree with that? Do you agree that these programs are setting up an entirely different system than the one that we're supposed to be using?
Absolutely. And these things are used to divide us on the basis of race, age, income, gender, political affiliation, religion, you name it. And the old adage, divide and conquer, is very much at play here. The American people have got to understand that we're being manipulated. We're being played, because they understand that that is the only way to fundamentally change this nation. We have to be smarter than they are.
And that's really all it comes down to. Dr. Carson, you mentioned the economy before as well. And I look, as we've gone through these case studies of these economic upheavals and unfortunately some of these communist socialist situations in the past and these revolutions that have gone on, it's always economic disparity. It's always you crash the economy of a country. And then, as you say, you dumb down the people. And then you say, oh, if you want to get rich, here's how you do it. You have to take it from the people that have the money now. That's how it always starts. We can, you know, quibble about, you know, with this group and that group and Russia, China, Spain, et cetera. It always comes down to that. It always comes down to that, all the way back, by the way, to the end of the Roman Republic, which, by the way, is the first country that's mentioned by Karl Marx in the Communist Revolution. And so when we look at the wealth issues today, I would say go and look at TikTok. I tell people this. People out there are hurting. There are people who are, because of inflation and because of prices being so high, and they can't, you know, they say, I work a shift and now I can't afford a house. I can't afford an apartment. I can't afford to live by myself. I have to have a roommate. That's not where America was just a few years ago, is it?
No, it's not. And, you know, the statistics came out today on the new job creation, 303,000 new jobs, and that's touted as a great thing. But you have to understand who's taking those jobs. Illegals are taking those jobs. A lot of elderly people who had retired are going back into the workforce because they're finding that they can't afford to go to the grocery store or put gas in their car anymore on what they had planned. Those things are hurting us as a nation, and they're destroying the whole concept of the American dream for so many people.
And so many people out there. You know, my wife, she calls it airport prices. She said, I say, airport prices? What is airport prices? She goes, well, it costs like everything's when you're shopping at the airport. But then you go to the grocery store, you go to Costco, wherever you're going. It's like, because everyone knows the airport prices are so expensive. So you go out to everywhere else, it's airport prices everywhere. That's the situation we're in. And I would argue that there are even Republicans who don't understand how much economic anger there is out there in this country right now.
Absolutely. Well, I just hope that that the good guys are able to capitalize on that and educate the people, because it's all about having an intelligent populace, a moral and religious people, and a well-educated people. And that makes a difference. And those are the things that led us to the pinnacle of the world in record time.
And when people are out there searching, when people are hurting, I do hope, and I see glimmers of this, I do see glimmers that there are more people now who are also, because when people feel desperate, where do you turn? You turn to the church. You turn to God. People finally starting to open their Bibles up again. And I don't know if it's widespread as much yet, but I actually believe, Dr. Carson, that there is an awakening that's going on in America right now. It's just starting, but it's real.
No question. You know, it's always darkest before the dawn. And sometimes it has to be pretty dark before people can see the light. And I think we've reached that point now. I think they're starting to see the light. I think they're starting to wake up. And I do believe it will be in time. But we have a struggle on our hands, and we cannot rest on our laurels.
Amen. Dr. Carson, tell us again about the book. Where can people go to get it? And where can people go to get more information about everything you're up to?
The Perilous Fight, Overcoming Our Culture's War on the American Family. It's available for pre-order wherever books are sold. It'll be out officially on May the 14th. And you can find out about all the things that we're doing at AmericanCornerstone.org, including the book, including our Little Patriots program, Star Spangled Adventures, Executive Branch for America, My American Story, the Faith and Family Tour that's coming up. All of these things are on the website. A lot of entertaining stuff there, much more entertaining than HBO.
God bless Dr. Carson. We know you got to run. Please stop back and see us soon. We know you're very busy. He's going on tour, folks. Dr. Ben Carson.
I want to know the truth, what really went down. So I'm jumping on my computer, going to pre-order town. Pre-ordering love, you man. Can't wait to get my hands on that book. Gonna dive into its pages. Take a closer look on the Russian Revolution.
Folks, Human Events Daily back. Jack Posobiec. The world is in flames, as we know. And Bidenomics is a complete and total disaster, but it cannot, it will not ruin my day. Do you know why? It's because I start my day with a hot America First cup of Blackout Coffee. Blackout Coffee is 100% committed to conservative values. From sourcing the beans to the roasting process, customer support, and shipping, they embody true American values and accept no compromise on taste or quality. Look, I love this stuff. You guys are going to love this stuff too. Power yourself. Power your business, by the way. Look, I do a lot of business outside of the show here, involved in a lot of different things. Obviously, people know there's an election going on this year a little bit. You need to have energy for this. And it's only April, right? It's only April. This year is just starting. So you need to be energized. Do what I do. Go to blackoutcoffee.com/poso. Use promo code POSO20 for 20% off your first order. Mother's Day, of course, next month. We love our moms. We love our grandmoms and our great-grandmoms, by the way. So give them and all those close to your heart the gift of being awake, not woke, with Blackout Coffee. That's blackoutcoffee.com/poso. blackoutcoffee.com/poso. Promo code POSO20. Joining me now, Joshua Lysak, the co-author of the best-selling book, even though it's only in pre-order fashion still, and people can go get pre-orders. Barnes & Noble is now up. Books A Million is now up. Target is now up. Bookshop.com is now up. And of course, direct from Skyhorse Publishing. Joshua, I'd love to pick your brain a little bit about this idea that, so yesterday, you know, we talked about this, and then in between the shows, it happened, and today we're seeing the response. The United States government is currently sending a praying grandmother to jail because they didn't like her politics and they didn't like where she was praying. Now, if your lens of the world, if your lens of the government is, as you have said, the NPR American lens, you think the government is fair, you think the government is just, but you might start scratching your head and saying, this person doesn't seem like a hardened domestic terrorist who's about to overthrow democracy. But if you have another lens, this may have been 100% predicted. What's going on?
Yes, that's correct. Thanks for having me back on, Jack. What we talk about in the book Unhumans is that normies don't really know what's going on. They don't understand the time or the season. And that's okay, because that's something that we can solve with awareness of what is going on. The hypothesis we present in the book is that the United States is currently undergoing an irregular communist revolution. It used to be, in the olden days of classical Marxism, it was a socio-economic, bitter, bloody struggle in the streets between workers rising up, waving red flags, and their oppressors, aka their employers. And that's how a revolution went. And of course, there were statues, and there are passionate figures holding up their hands to the sky. That is usually how it goes. But cultural Marxism is a bit different. What's now done is groups of people are identified via this intersectionality, critical race, critical gender, critical what have you, and they're formed into what Steve Saylor calls coalitions of the fringes, people that can be rallied up and they can be convinced that they are in fact oppressed when they are not. And then all of the issues they have can be laid at the feet of the oppressors. Now, just as Dr. Ben Carson was saying, the oppressor in cultural Marxism in the United States is deemed the straight white Christian male and female to a lesser extent, but certainly that individual, that's the oppressor. And so the lens through which revolutionaries view everything, their operating frame of reality, is oppressor bad, oppressed good. If we have a bunch of white Christians who are protesting something, then they are therefore the oppressors. It's white rage. It's dark. It's an insurrection. But in January 2017, upon the inauguration, the lawful and peaceful transfer of power to, at that time, President Donald J. Trump, what did we have? We had, quote unquote, oppressed doing the exact same thing. In fact, there were a number of mostly peaceful but somewhat fiery protests against President Trump throughout his term in office. And there, of course, was violence. There was injury to law enforcement. But did any of those protesters who were deemed the oppressed class, did any of them face consequences, legal or otherwise? Absolutely not. But that's not fair, say the normies and the conservatives who don't understand what's happening in their reality. Well, that's the point. Oppressors and oppressed are held to different standards. Anarcho-tyranny means that the people who are committing crimes, so long as they are in the right cultural Marxist class, they're able to be forgiven. But those who are deemed oppressors, they get the full weight of the tyranny of law. And that's where additional unnecessary punishments that don't have legal precedent are thrown onto them, where the solitary confinement, another cruel and unusual punishment, there's imprisonment without bail, without trial. And that, of course, explains everything that's happened to the January 6 protesters, the vast majority of whom were nonviolent, were peaceful, and as we see from video, were let into what they did not realize were restricted areas, but waved in and stayed peacefully behind the ropes and staying on the carpet that was there for them. And of course, as the communist revolution goes on, a regular like we have now or in the past, the people have no idea what's coming for them. Now, there are a few people like Michael Cernovich who pointed out, guys, you know what they're doing, right? He didn't say it this way, but effectively this was a reverse Bastille. Instead of the mobs coming into the prison during the proto-communist French Revolution and taking everyone out, it was the reverse, where it was as if the future prisoners were brought into this official government building to be robbed and killed quite literally, as many have been driven to suicide, and that was by design. That was by design. So this isn't a regular communist revolution, and we have to understand the time and the season, and that hypocrisy and two different legal standards, that's part and parcel of what happens in a far-left uprising.
And I would throw out there that what do we see time and time again? The fact it is a praying grandmother. So this is an archetype of now she is a businesswoman, but an older woman praying. This is almost an archetype that we see throughout a variety, and we go through the chapter and verse in the book, from Russia to Spain, to France, even all the way back during the French Revolution. What does it remind us of? Oh, it reminds us of nuns. It reminds us of nuns and this archetype of the strong women in society who will not give up their faith. We see this, of course, in the Russian Revolution, where the clergy was completely wiped out. We see this in China, where now the clergy had already been somewhat wiped out during the Boxer Revolution and other situations that went on at the end of the Qing Dynasty. But of course, they were targeted in Spain. They were ruthlessly and brutally slaughtered. And in some cases in Spain, you had communists who were committing sexual assault against nuns inside churches. And even the French Revolution ended with Robespierre ordering the execution of 12 Carmelite nuns because they refused to break their vows to God. And so when I see one of these things going in, I say, oh, they're they're coming for the religious women again. They're coming for the, of course, right? It is a playbook, and I've been talking about it till I'm blue in the face. About they will come for religious women. They will do this. And now here it is. And all of a sudden people are saying, oh, I can't believe they're doing this. And I turn around and I say, what do you mean? This is what they do.
And this is what they do every single time. Now, what's a little bit different in this case is there is just enough plausible deniability on the part of revolutionaries in this case. And unfortunately,
right. They always add the little, oh, well, they refused and they said this and they broke this. They always play that game. They always play that game. We're coming up on a quick break here.
Sure thing. And the last point to make real quick is that what NPR Americans have been fed by their untrustworthy news sources is no one is above the law. She was trespassing. Mm-hmm. This was insurrection. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she and everyone else should be in prison.
Trespasser. We're gonna talk more. Joshua Lysak, the book is Unhumans, The Secret History of Communist Revolutions and How to Crush Them. You better head down to pre-order town.
Jumping on my computer, going to pre-order town. Pre-ordering Unhumans. Can't wait to get my hands on that book. Gonna dive into its pages. Far, but I got a hankering, yearning deep inside for this book called Unhumans. I just can't hide.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily. The book is Unhumans, The Secret History of Communist Revolutions. They always come for the religious women. They always come for the religious women. Joshua, now, we've been talking about this, and so from our lens, it's simple. We say, well, they're coming for the religious women. They've been doing this for centuries at this point. But why is it that your normie NPR American is just so wrapped up in the sort of the window dressing of all of it that they don't see it that way?
Yes, and this is the case that we make in the book, that the irregular communist revolutionary war, which it is very much a war that we're witnessing in the United States right now, and have that it kicked off in the 1960s, which is in effect a new American founding, which is also boggling to the minds of millions of Americans who still believe their news sources.
Not to leftists, by the way, though.
Oh, yes. This is so true. This is so true. They understand this. They understand this.
Yeah, the leftists will say that all day long.
Exactly. Yes, there was violence, upheaval, actual communist militias, self-proclaimed Marxists committing bombings, atrocities. There was, on top of that, the state-sponsored ethnic cleansing of upwards of 4.5 million people from the inner cities by design during the 1960s, this new American founding. And that sort of hot violence in many ways has entered into more of a gray zone period. Warfare has changed in many respects to being plausible deniability. And this is exactly what we see with this great-grandmother who is facing some undue punishment, in our view. There's plausible deniability. It's, well, she technically wasn't supposed to be there. Technically, it's against the law. Technically, it's not because she's religious. Technically, it's because no one is above the law. And so, from one perspective, it's obvious that she's being targeted because she's a supporter of President Donald Trump. She's a patriotic American who believes that there was something fishy about the 2020 election procedure and outcome, and was present to pray and ideally to bring peace to the situation, because there was some scuffling and some shenanigans there at January 6th. No one is denying that. That said,
but actually, I was just going to throw out that I don't know that we've actually said this publicly yet, and I'm remiss that if we haven't, but the final chapter of the entire book, so I guess the final chapter of explanation before we get to the solution of all this, the final chapter of that, the final case study of all of these is actually an entire chapter on January 6th.
That's correct. And a better way of understanding it, as I said earlier, that it's a reverse or perhaps an inverted Bastille event in which the revolutionaries, instead of going and attacking, they're luring their enemy in to be expunged, to be purged.
Like the 100 Flowers campaign.
Yes, through lawfare, which is a bit sneakier, which is a sort of a gray zone warfare tactic, where again there's plausible deniability, which is key to gray zone tactics, which we see Russia, which we see China, which we see the United States engaging in against their adversaries, where there's plausible deniability. Oh, come on, guys, it wasn't really us. The official statement says, no, we didn't do that. That wasn't a military action. Obviously not. Meanwhile, it was, in fact, assets who were hiring subcontractors who were doing this at the behest of a foreign power. There's plausible deniability. If there was, in fact, an open targeting of Christian Trump supporters by decree, that would generate a reciprocal response. But these people are sneaky. What cultural Marxists have figured out is if we can make it look legitimate enough to most people, there won't be. As long as we can use word thinking to say no one is above the law, then tens of millions of people will nod right along to that and say, oh, yeah. Oh, that was an insurrection? Oh, insurrections are bad. I learned about that in school. Oh, yeah, we totally got to prosecute that. I mean, I think capital punishment even would be appropriate because that's like basically a traitor.
Well, there was a comment. There was a comment that I got in on just mentioning this, and I was going through and I had it pinned to the account yesterday, it pinned it up my Twitter, that of all the celebrating, they were celebrating her arrest. They were saying, this is what all white people need, right? We saw that. We also saw them. We were talking about Haiti. Then I even saw one comment that said something along the lines of, she's lucky Michael Byrd didn't get to her. Joshua, who's Michael Byrd?
Michael Byrd would be the individual who shot Ashley Babbitt dead in the Capitol.
Oh, he was the Capitol police officer who shot Ashley Babbitt, killed her as she was coming through unarmed, was not threatening him, and he shot and killed her. So what the left is saying is they and people need to remember this, that the only person who was murdered on January 6th was Trump supporter Ashley Babbitt. And and on the right, we think that there's some questionable activity by Michael Byrd, and we should potentially look into revoking his access to law enforcement. On the left, they celebrate Michael Byrd. In fact, one of Michael Byrd's colleagues is running for Congress in Maryland now. Who's one of these extremely anti-Trump Capitol Police officers. And so people need to understand and actually wake up to what is really going on the left. Meanwhile, Joshua, and last minute here, they're sending great-grandmothers for praying to prison. And on our side, we're getting scolded about mean tweets and mean book titles.
Yes, they're... To borrow another Scott Adams metaphor, there are two movies on one screen playing out. And one movie is a naive one, utterly naive. And that's the one that's viewed by conservatives, by moderates, of course, by Republicans, but also by what I like to call your farmers market liberals. The people who they might have a pride flag bumper sticker, for example, they may occasionally use pronouns, that sort of thing, but they're otherwise peaceful people. That said, we need to wake up everyone. What's really going on?
Wake up. The book is Unhumans. Yes. The final case study in Unhumans, January 6th. And we go through it all. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission to lay ashore. Pre-order town. Pre-order in love.